This is the Blog Pirate Podcast for the week of August 28th, 2006. This is episode 2, the Blog Pirate Summer Wrap Up. Today we're going to be taking a look at shavingstuff.com and their summer wrap-up of the greatest things they've had throughout the summer. And as always, we'll take a look at all the best products and news from around the blog fire.
This Blog Pirate Podcast is sponsored by CoffeeWiz.com. They've got the latest selection of Tully's K-Cup coffees for your Keurig coffee maker, and that's at CoffeeWiz.com.
Well, hello, I'm Russell Miner.
And I'm Jay Brewer.
And Jay was busy typing.
I was. I was looking up a URL. Yes, I was busy typing.
So, welcome back, everybody. Sorry, this was definitely a little long than we intend to be about every other week, but Jay was just on vacation. Where'd you go?
I was out at Jaws Beach, Martha's Vineyard, actually.
Nice. Did you see any giant man-eating sharks?
The first night we were there, actually, the sea was angry, and essentially we went out onto South Beach, which if you haven't been to Martha's Vineyard before, that's sort of south. I don't know.
It's brilliant.
I have no idea.
Clever name.
Near Edgartown. And essentially, the right at shore, the waves were like 10 feet, 12 feet high, crushing into the shore. I'm standing there. There's these two guys with broken boogie boards. And I'm like, well, should I go into the water or not? I'm not sure. And the guy looks at me. He's like, oh, yeah, check that out. That's like a four-foot nurse shark or something just went right down in that wave. I'm just like, okay, I know that nurse sharks don't bite, but I think I'm not going in tonight.
Probably a wise move.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was a good week, and, you know, we was also on vacation with Russell Neufeld from shavingstuff.com.
Sure, absolutely.
And family, and we basically, we both posted ahead and kept the news flowing on our two sites, and everything's good to go, and checked in on Wednesday.
Awesome. Sounds good. So we're definitely glad to have you back, and let's get right to it. What are we looking at first?
Actually, so Russ Neufeld at shavingstuff.com has probably like one of the most comprehensive best of shaving stuff wrap-ups this past week. He's looking at online stores that are the best place to buy products. He's got best shaving oil, best aftershave, best shaving cream,
wow,
best razors. Really great stuff. And, you know, if you are looking to sort of, you know, re-outfit yourself for the fall, maybe you're going back to school, maybe you're, you know, saying, like, I'd like to get a new razor because I'm tired of ruining my face. You know, he's got it all this week.
Nice. Well, let's take a look. Let's get in there.
So, starts off with the best razors, actually, earlier in the week. And really, you got three options. You can choose between a three-blade, a four-blade, or five-blade razor. And also, you know, all the razors are starting to come in a powered version where essentially, like, they vibrate. They've got batteries in the handle, and the razors vibrate. So if we look at the...
Are those actually making a difference?
It really does. And because I get to try out a lot of this stuff at the same time, the Fusion Power, like from Gillette, or the M-Power, they're pretty awesome. What happens is the difference is the vibration almost kind of distracts you from the fact that you're really, like, tearing away at your face and shaving off some hairs. If you do a side-by-side comparison or just get one of the powered razors and turn off the battery and then take a stroke and not take a stroke with it, there's a big difference. The vibration, maybe it helps, or maybe it's just distracting. I'm not sure. It feels better.
Now, the other thing that, you know, I've heard people say is that, oh, well, you know, this is just a way, you know, Gillette obviously famously makes all their money by selling the blades, and now in addition, they, you know, not too long ago they acquired Duracell or, you know, battery companies. I mean, is this a way for them to just buy batteries? Do they last long? I mean, what's the deal there?
You know, I haven't replaced the batteries in my Fusion Power since it came out, like, earlier this year. And frankly, you know, I mean, I suppose that yes, they're going to make money this way. But for the first time, I really think that the powered versions unlike having like 13 blades on the razor, you know, I think that it does make a difference in the quality. You can also go back to the M Power, you know, the Mach 3 powered version. You know, if you're into the Mach 3 family, you can stay there. You don't have to go up. You know, when you did go to the Fusion, instead of having 5 blades or 5 cartridges that you would get in an expansion pack for your razor expansion pack. That's so game related.
It's totally game related. That's all
right. The Fusion Power only has 4 that it comes with. So they are really kind of trimming out and doing some stuff. But frankly, I think the Fusion's a great razor, and I've not tried the Quattro, so I'm kind of a Gillette loyalist.
Did Russ take a look at the Quattro?
He did. He's reviewed the Quattro. He's reviewed the Fusion. He's also reviewed the Mach 3. So if you go to the reviews section of shavingstuff.com, you can rate that. But you can also just start off with the best razors in this post.
Cool. Awesome. What else? What's next? What else besides the razors?
Well, you know, for those of you that are still using shaving cream, and I suppose some of you are, not shaving oil, we'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
Total burn. The best shaving cream, he's got some picks from Billy Jealousy, which is amazing stuff, and also some stuff from Zerk and Baxter. So,
Zerk?
I think it's Zerk or Zerk.
Z-I-R-H.
Maybe it's just Zerk. I don't know.
By the way, those of you listening along, this is all at shavingstuff.com. There's a series of the best of shaving stuff posts, and they're all around the August 22nd. They're all, you know, coming about this last week.
It's actually just over the past week, yeah. So basically there's three, you know, there's different types. There's shaving gels, there's shaving creams. You know, Russ sort of runs down that there's really nothing like a killer combination of a hot towel pre-shave cream and some really great, you know, Billy Jealousy shaving stuff. Shaving cream. He's got the reviews that he's written about the different shaving creams here right in the post, and it really gives you a rundown of, like, why shaving gel versus shaving cream versus using a shaving brush with a shaving cream. So he really gives the big rundown, and frankly, he goes right into the best aftershave right after that.
Huh. So he's, like, walking you through a shave?
Yeah. You know, Russ actually tries all these products, and his face shows it. He's a good-looking guy. Always has a nice shave.
Very nice.
All right. You know, the best aftershave, he's got Zia for Men. He did a review earlier where he did a part one and part two review of this cool shaving aftershave. And basically, you know, aftershave and pre-shave, you know, there's two phases of shaving, like getting your face prepped and ready for your beard to soften up a little bit to be shaved, and then really treating your skin, hydrating your skin afterwards. So the Zia for Men basically has a skin sort of clearing, cleaning set where basically you scrub, you get the shave gel, you put on the lotion, they feel like they've got you covered for the entire length of your shave.
So their product is just like a one product that you put on for both the pre and the post?
It's three products.
They have
a gel, and then a post shave. Anyways, best aftershaves, there's a post on that at shavingstuff.com.
Nice.
And then pretty much I get burned in this next thing because goes over the best shaving oil. We've been trying a bunch of these different shaving oils.
Wait, what is a shaving oil?
Shaving oil. Now here's the difference between a shaving cream and a shaving oil. You put a little dab, maybe like a quarter size or a dime size dab of this oil. You rub it in your palms, and you rub it into your face with your face is, like, pre-moistened.
Okay.
All right?
So you've already, like, wet it.
It's clear, right? You don't, there's no cream, there's no
you can't, no tracks to see where you've been.
And honestly, right, there's no tracks to see where you've been, but you're shaving with just oil and a razor. And let me tell you, it's an awesome shave. And it's a clean shave because, like, you have to see where your hair is. If you miss anything, you can't see where you don't have shaving cream. But you don't have all the mess of all that shaving cream, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not an incredible bunch of junk to wash out of your razor and whatever. Mm. You don't get razor clog with your five
Does
blades.
Your razor last longer with oil as opposed to...
I don't know.
Okay.
That's unclear to
me. We should ask Russell that.
Right. We should maybe get him on the show and ask him that.
I definitely think we should get him on the show and ask him.
Well, there's a couple that we've been trying. There's Pacific Shaving Oil, which we tried earlier in the year. I really liked it. Up until I actually tried the King of Shave shaving oil, which I get burned in here because I haven't provided my review because I was supposed to review it. But
Such
the King of
man.
Shave shaving oil is phenomenal. Loved the Pacific Shaving Oil. Whatever it was about the dispenser and the King of Shaves, I liked it a little bit better. It was a little cooler feeling, a little, you know, I felt like I almost got a little bit of a better shave. Russ has also tried the Formula Alpha Shaving Oil. It's got menthol in it, so it's cooling on
that
the skin.
That must be a wake-you-up-in-the-morning kind of feeling.
If you have a lighter beard, I guess we recommend that if you've got a lighter beard, this is an even better solution. If you've got a heavier beard, this is a good solution if you shave every day with your heavy beard. Mm-hmm. But if you really got to coat it up and, like, whatever, you may want to have to take off, like, a full week's growth like I just did because I was on vacation.
The lazy beard.
With a little bit of shaving gel versus the shaving oil. But in general, this is going to work for you on a daily basis.
Interesting.
Next, we're going to look at the last part of the best of, which best shaving online stores. Really, you know, there aren't a lot of great shaving stores. A lot of
I've noticed that.
Yeah, Details for Men is a newly launched store, and they basically are covering the full gambit of male products. You know, from Anthony Logistics to Jack Black Shaving Stuff.
Jack Black has his own line of shaving.
Nah, Jack Black. It's not the Jack Black. It's another brand.
It's too bad. I would shave with the D.
They also have, you know, they also have a thing on the Anthony Logistics pre-shave oil, which isn't a shaving oil to shave with, but it gets your face prepped.
How many different products do you need to use? I mean, you just mentioned three, but now you've got another one that's like the pre-oil.
Honestly, you can do a pre-scrub, a pre-shave oil. You can have a shave oil or a shave cream. You can have an aftershave, and then you can also have an after-moistening. You can have up to five things to do for your face.
That seems
like
a lot of effort.
And if you like to pamper yourself, you can find them all at Details for Men. You know, because this and Buzzkin.com are both really
Buzzkin?
Good. Yeah, Buzzkin.com. That's another online shavings basically men's product.
But Buzz Skin.
It's all focused on men's shaving, skincare, men's grooming.
It's obviously focused on men with a hot chick
on the
front.
Let's just say that if you're focused on, like, you know, male shaving or grooming products, you've got to cover shaving, your face, body, hair, and, of course, protecting yourself from the sun.
Naturally. That you'd think that would be more general.
Anyways, buzzkin.com, detailsformen.com, those are both sites that Russ mentions as really good sites to find all the products you'd need and that he recommends in the bestofshavingstuff.com's week summer wrap-up thing.
Awesome. Well, we're definitely looking forward to having him on sometime soon, and let's move on. Let's see what else we got going on in the blog bar.
All right. Sounds great.
Talk to us. What's next?
I think we're going to be going over to liquorsnob.com. Our good
always
friend
a favorite.
Jake Jameson is over there, I don't know, drinking a lot of liquor.
Him and his army of drunken fools.
Yes, exactly. The Liquor Snob interns have definitely been busy.
Do they have T-shirts yet?
There are Liquor Snob Cafe Press shirts that you can purchase from Liquor Snob.
I would love to see the interns just storming a bar in those shirts.
The liquorsnob.com interns definitely will storm a bar in the shirts.
Nice.
Yes. So anyways, well, this is different. Jake's not drinking this review. He's got a guest review from a good blogging friend, Kevin Erskine, of the Scotch blog. And if you haven't been to the Scotch blog, check it out.
I do like my scotch.
Yeah, so he's got a guest review of this Tanqueray Rangpur gin, and it sounds pretty yummy. I guess apparently now the other thing is that these guys get invited out to, like, tastings and liquor parties. So if you think of the limited ability for alcohol or liquor places to advertise, they typically
sure.
go to events or they throw events or they throw parties.
Sure, like I see them in bars, things like that.
Exactly.
Things.
So he actually attended at some DC club the launch party of this basically of this new Tanqueray gin, which basically it sort of fills a niche between the super premium Tanqueray and sort of the classic Tanqueray. So it's sort of they're trying to kind of get something where they can maybe brand it. It's not total top shelf, but it's like really premium, really good, and it's got a little bit of a different taste to it.
Hmm.
So Kevin basically thinks, hey, pretty smooth, pretty good. Mixed with cranberry, ginger ale. He preferred it straight.
Intriguing.
He didn't like it mixed. He liked it straight. Just straight up, hardcore, drink a nice gin-tini, maybe.
Now, when you... I mean, obviously, gin, probably the most famous drink that it's involved in is the martini.
Yeah.
What else... I mean, what else are people really using gin in? I mean, where do you use gin?
Gin and tonic.
Okay, I suppose that's a common one.
Actually, this past week, we made hand-rolled fresh rolls... Like, you know, those...
Like a spring roll or something?
Like a spring roll, but it's made with, like, a rice paper thing.
Okay.
And we didn't have any, I think you're supposed to use, like, some sort of, like, crazy little flavored amount of alcohol or something. And Jessica Brooks, who was with us on vacation, she actually put a little gin in there.
Intriguing.
Just a little on the outside of the paper to moisten it.
Uh-huh.
And rolled them up that way. Awesome flavor.
Interesting. I wonder what else would be good. Maybe a little pastry?
Maybe.
Maybe that's too much.
Who knows? Anyways, liquorsnob.com. Check it out. Bunch of guest reviews and other cool stuff this week at liquorsnob.com.
Great. All right, next up we're going to take a look at...
Reallynatural.com.
Reallynatural.com.
Yeah, so one of the things I found this week is this natural urban composter. It doesn't look that natural.
So composter being thing you just kind of have in your, you know, for your garden, you put, you know, like, you know, food waste and like lawn, you put like yard waste in there.
You can, yeah, you can put whatever you want to mix up for your compost mix, you know, like you can put coffee grounds in there, like you said, food stuff.
But not pods.
You can break open your pods and throw them in there if you're using like a Senseo coffee pod machine or whatever. Sure. So composting is great because you can basically make your own like dirt. You know, your own soil.
I believe it's soil at that point.
Yeah, I would say that it's better than dirt. It's soil.
That's right.
And
you can sell soil, but you can't sell dirt.
Now I know in my house we've got a basically a old school. Freebie, you know, round thing with the sort of like looks
like a beanie,
like you're out in a rice fields, one of those big hats that they wear in the rice fields.
Oh, I know what you're saying. So this, it's basically a big round piece of plastic that circles, and you put all your waste inside, and it fills up, and you put, you know, the rice paddy hat on top.
Exactly. And the problem with it is like if you throw a whole bunch of lawn trimmings and other stuff in there, ooh, let me tell you, you can get quite the odor coming from the compost.
Sure.
Cuz what happens is that little microorganisms go and start eating that stuff, and there it heats up the whole compost.
Yeah, those things get very hot.
Right. And not only that, when you get direct sun on them, it heats up even more and breaks down all that organic matter into the compost, and you get some serious smells like off that thing. Well, this natural urban composter is basically it's not that tall. It's probably about 5 or 6 feet tall, but it sits off the ground, and it actually seals. It's got a seal. It's like a half-round barrel that seals on the top.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you just throw stuff in it, and because it's not an open-air solution, and it's really black and it's contained, you're not going to get any smell. And I think that's like a big win for people who they might not even have like we have a pretty good sized yard. If you had like a back porch or back area where you wanted to compost but you didn't want the smell,
sure, you just have a couple of flower gardens or
like
something.
You know, like a back deck off your apartment or something. This is a perfect solution for that.
Now, does the units like sort of looks like a, you know, it's like a giant tape measure. It's a big round thing.
Yep.
You put stuff, you know, you put your junk inside. Do you And by the way, those readings, it's at reallynatural.com. Post is August 24th. So does this thing rotate on the base or something so that the material inside can...
Actually, that's how you... Right. So you can actually shut it, and you can notch it up and notch it back, I guess.
I see. So it goes forward and backward.
Yep.
And that just, you know, moves the stuff around so you can get good bacterial coverage.
Better
or
composting,
something.
You might want to say.
Right.
To make soil.
To make soil.
Right.
Awesome. What else we got?
We've got a really cool link from friends of ours over at GoTo Reviews about brewing organic beer at home. Now, I don't know if you know anything about home brewing. You know, was a bigger phenomenon than I think it is now, but still pretty popular.
Given that your name is Jay Brewer...
I have brewed beer at home.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Quite a bit of beer in college, actually. And one of the interesting things is you can go to the these brew stores or whatever, and you can buy, you know, oats and barley and different things, and you can actually, like, cook down and make your own malt, right? Or you can actually...
What exactly is malt?
Malt is cooked down oats, barley stuff into a syrupy mixture that you're going to turn into beer.
Intriguing.
I hope that's a pretty good description of it. But essentially, this malt, which has sugars and different stuff in it, you put in yeast, and that yeast eats away.
Sure, eats sugars. Kind of
like composting beer.
You're making soil.
You're making soil in your beer. And that, like, eats away into the stuff producing alcohol.
Sure.
And fermentation, et cetera, et cetera.
Probably other complex chemicals.
Other complex, yeah.
Things that we don't know.
Interesting thing is that what they found with using organic beer, because it basically organic mixes, because it has less sugar, it's not they don't add sugar to it. They don't add, like, you know, high complex fructose corn syrup or whatever, right?
Good old corn syrup.
Right? That because it has a little less protein and a little less of this other stuff, it makes a clearer beer. And it makes it basically a less calorie beer, too.
Oh, I see. That's very nice.
There's a whole we provide a bunch of links here to how to brew organic. And also you can visit GoTo Reviews, and they've got a whole write-up on all the stuff about brewing organic beer at home. It's pretty cool.
Cool. What's next?
Actually, one of my favorite articles over the past week found this prefab Sunset Cabin from Taylor Smith. He's an architect. But modern prefab, magazines like Dwell, if you've ever seen Dwell at your local grocery store, maybe Whole Foods would have it, I guess. Basically, prefab is, they build a large percentage of the house in a big factory, essentially, and, you know, put them together. Almost like the, what do you want to call those? Kit homes of the early turn of the century. They used to have what they called kit homes. Well, modern prefab is all about space and lighting and whatever. This particular cabin, which is set on a lake, is a prefab cabin. It's actually wrapped floor to ceiling in glass bricks around the exterior or some type of glass, and then it's coated with cedar strips or cedar banding on the outside over the glass, so the whole house almost like glows in this picture. It's gorgeous.
Intriguing.
You know? There's a link to Taylor Smith's Sunset Cabin. You can find out more about how to order this. Often prefab homes, you can actually, and these are not chintzy things. It's just that it reduces the cost because they don't have to
build
a house on site with weather conditions.
Sure.
And they have all the materials and tools there right at thing. They usually deliver the prefab home to the site and just install it on the foundation.
So is this like when you're driving down the highway and you see a house on a truck?
Some of those may be modern prefab, but yeah, I mean, that you see a lot of cabins made this way. The other thing is that these homes can be super insulated. They can be super fuel efficient. And you can also you can choose to order your house out of materials that are a little greener. You know?
I see. You have a lot more control over the materials going in.
You know, you're not just buying vinyl windows from Home Depot and throwing them in there, and you don't know where that stuff came from. You can say, like, I want super high energy efficient windows that are, you know, eco-friendly, that didn't get made, like, you know, using bad products that are bad for the environment.
Or child labor.
Or child labor. I guess, you know, windows with child labor. I don't know.
Little hands.
Little small hands.
They get
making
in
windows. Yes. So anyways, really cool. Some prefab stuff at reallynatural.com.
Awesome. All right. I believe next we're going to take a look at TV Snob. Talk to me. Let's go. What is going on in TV Snob right now?
There's really... This fall's, I mean, I think this fall's going to be crazy. You've got TiVo's going to be coming out with its Series 3 PVR, personal video recorder. You know, it's like, it's digital. It's not a tape. It's got a hard drive. I don't know if I need to explain what a TiVo is.
I think you should explain what a TiVo is. I mean, I have a TiVo, but I know there's a lot of people out there that, you know, have heard the term and they just don't get it. I mean, what's the deal with this thing?
If you're watching TV without a PVR or, like, a TiVo, then TV is making you watch what you want to watch. Here's what it is. You get a TiVo, you plug it in, you say, these are my favorite shows. And you say, well, I like to watch The Daily Show every day.
Okay.
And I say, get me a season pass to The Daily Show. I click on this record button, and every time The Daily Show is on, and if it's new, it'll just record the Daily Show for me.
I don't have to, like, look up the times.
No.
And...
you don't have to put a tape in. It's got up to, like, some of these things have up to, like, hundreds of hours of recording time.
That's cool.
It's a box that holds all your TV. Here's the other cool thing. Let's say you're watching that crappy set of Red Sox games that we just had to endure.
Ooh.
Right. New York trouncing us, pretty disastrous.
Can I watch that over and over?
By the fourth game, as you decide whether or not you're going to throw up because we stink as ball team against the Yankees, you can actually pause the TV. So what's happening? Anytime you're watching live TV or TV that you would just be flipping through,
sure.
TiVo's always recording. You're always a few seconds behind, right?
I see like a little
a
buffer. Yep.
Right. So when you hit pause, it starts recording. And when you come back, you can be like, oh, I'm going to go get a hot dog and a Coke from my personal hot dog machine in my kitchen, which they have, by the way. And
we need to look at that.
Yeah. And basically, I come back, I hit play. I'm like, oh, let me skip over these commercials. I'll fast forward, and now I'm caught up with real time.
Now, I'm sort of playing. I'm playing the part of someone who doesn't know what this is because I know what it is. But here's my favorite question people give me.
Yeah.
Oh, you can fast forward through commercials, right? I mean, you can always fast forward, right? And then what people don't realize is that it's still watching live.
Right.
So you can't fast forward into the future.
Right. A great way to think of this is like, imagine. Lost comes on 8 o'clock Wednesday nights, right? Or that's what it was airing, right?
I don't know, sure. I don't know because I have TiVo and I watch it whenever
decide,
I feel
you can
like
be
it.
Like, oh my god, I got home at 8:45, but I know that TiVo is recording Lost, right?
Yep.
Basically, you can also say at 8 o'clock, I'm not going to watch Lost now. I'm going to eat my dinner first, and then I'll watch Lost. Lost is recording, but you're never going to... If it's 8:30, you've only got half the show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's midway, but you can go watch it.
You can go watch it back
on
to the beginning and start watching it, whatever. What ends up happening is, like, your habits change when you watch TV because you're like, maybe we'll just watch a bunch of shows on Thursday night because we have more time. You know, or maybe we'll watch a bunch of shows on Sunday night because that's when we want to watch stuff. Or I don't need to watch Lost. I can start watching my shows on Thursday night at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock.
The other thing people always ask me is they say, you know, well, isn't that just a VCR? I mean, why would somebody get a TiVo instead of just having a VCR they've already got that they can record
show? I don't
know,
mountain of tapes, dealing with your tapes, remember to push record, remembering to... It's like this has a...
Programming that damn thing.
Yeah, programming it. I mean, it's just a disaster. Anyways, the new TiVo Series 3 is coming out. TV Sound's got a great link to sign up. If you want to get on the mailing list and be notified, this thing is a high-definition TiVo. Currently, the only high-definition recording TiVo that you can get is DirecTV's version, I think.
Sure.
And then, essentially, this thing will also take a cable card, so you don't have to have a cable box and the TiVo. This cable card is basically, you get it from your cable provider, you put it in the TiVo box, and then it allows you to get your premium channels and all the other stuff.
See, now that's cool.
And you reduce the amount of crap under your TV as well.
I like that.
No videotapes, no cable box, just TiVo.
I love it.
All right.
So what about, what's next? I mean, what else do we got going on at TV Snob?
So there's this cool little Oppo Digital LCD TV with DVD. It's basically a very small mobile LCD and LCD TV that has a DVD player built in. You might put this like in your camp. You might put it like
your yacht.
Your yacht, as we all have yachts. You might put it in, you know, your cabin, your trailer, or you just might like put it in an extra bedroom. But it's got all kinds of inputs. It's video inputs, little speakers. It's very compact, and you know, it's not high def. Only 800 by 600 native resolution, but it's small, and it even has a 181-channel NTSC tuner, which means
that's nice.
You can plug it in and to a cable box, and it'll actually has a tuner built in.
That's pretty nice.
Without a cable box, I mean, yeah.
Cool. I'm also scrolling along here, checking out TVSnob.com. It's around August 21st, and I'm seeing what might be the largest television I've ever seen.
Yes.
Samsung announces a 70-inch LCD TV.
Yeah, these things keep getting bigger and taking more power. I can only imagine the you need, like, what, a 220-watt jack to plug in a 70-inch
LCD TV. I actually just plug
it
into my fusion reactor in the basement.
I know. This thing is honking big, as William says from TV Snob. Essentially, what's funny, now, they announce bigger and bigger TVs all the time. And they're, like, in Japan or Taiwan or whatever. And there's always, like, a shot of a woman next to the thing for scale, right?
Yeah, for
scale. Now, either the people are getting smaller or the TVs are indeed getting much, much larger. And this looks almost like this TV is half her height or more.
At what point does it cease being a TV and begin being a wall?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think, like, granted, you're always going to get a better picture clarity than a projection LCD, you know, projector or whatever.
Yep.
But my God, these things are just, I mean, I think.
How far away would you have to sit to even make that thing, be able to watch it?
What do they say? Like a 30-inch to 37-inch one, you need to be about like 15, maybe 10 to 15 at least back at a native resolution of 1920 by 1200 or something like that, or 1080. I don't know what it is. It's like you've got to be a sizable distance or it looks like crap.
Yeah, sure.
It's just,
You're staring at pixels.
You're staring at pixels. So I think at 70 inches, you're probably going to need to have a house like Bill Gates.
You need a hall.
A giant hall.
Okay, nice.
You probably need to sit in your door, your driveway and put it down at the end.
One more thing. I don't know if you know this or maybe we can send a question on TV Snob, but as these giant TVs are being made and whatever, is that helping to reduce the cost? Because it's sort of like, you know, almost like, you know, someone would make like a concept car. And the concept car, you know, it pushes these features, and even though that no one would ever buy that car because it's just too expensive, they don't make enough, but maybe the technology they use to make it is really driving down the cost of other parts. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And the larger these screens get in, they're coming up with cheaper ways to make the screen. That's why the cost is coming down. It also, it's like the higher you go up in size, you actually do get less. For instance, like this thing has a 2,000:1 contrast ratio. Some of the smaller sets have like a 10,000:1 contrast ratio.
Wow.
So it's like the smaller stuff is getting better and better and better. The bigger stuff is sort of bleeding edge. It's got a larger size, but it doesn't necessarily have the best contrast and whatever. And I think that they use this both for news and to drive the category, and then I also think that they use it for, you know, innovation and trying to come up with cheaper methods to make them. Mm. And I think, you know, this fall you should see the cheap LCD, you know, price wars of all price wars.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I will say one thing. So I don't have HD, but a few friends of mine do, and we get together every week and we watch the Patriots, and there is nothing like watching a sporting event in HD. It's very hard to go back. It looks so good.
Yeah, I'm not a big football guy, but I have seen high def football, and it's makes you want to sit down and watch it. It's pretty cool.
Definitely. All right, what site are we going to look at next?
KitchenContraptions.com, Kitchen Gadgets.
Love the Kitchen Gadgets.
So we got some cool stuff, some mix and measure bowls, which are these bowls that have a, you know, kind of like a urinal shape to them.
They look like little urinals.
They do look like urinals. But they've got an end where you're pouring from. It's got a measure on the side that tells you, like, how much from 1 to 2.5 liters and metric is better.
That's kind of nice.
Regular.
So it's not just like it's not just the mixing bowl and it's not just the measuring cup.
It's not on the side. It's like it'll tell you right when you look down at the liquid, like, oh, look at this. I've got a liter of, you know, milk.
Oh, that's true. Cause you know, they always teach you. I mean, I remember I had a home ec class when I was in high school and we had those.
Really?
Don't be like that. And, you know, we had to like make like cobbler or something. It was
like, ladies in home ec?
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
So, and they always taught you, and I'm sure you've heard this before,
yes,
that when you pour something into the measuring cup, you're supposed to lift it up and hold it at eye level.
Yeah, and burn yourself as it scalds into
the top
of the burning oil.
Yes, you're supposed to hold it at eye level. See, that's kind of a nice innovation. And does it have English and metric?
It has what it looks like metric, you know, but I'm sure it has both because it looks like it has two scales on the side.
Oh, I see, yeah,
here,
right,
you know,
and left.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. They basically, you know,
The bowls are not microwavable?
Well, I mean, typically...
Sorry, I'm reading that from the post.
Yeah, typically, though, when you're mixing, you don't need to prep and microwave anything, you're right.
What about when you melt butter? Yeah.
Touché, my friend.
Okay, alright.
But they're still great design.
Cool. I'd probably use them.
Another cool thing this week is the Gourmet Basting Brush. Now, how many? I don't know. I'm a big.
That's on August 21st. For
yeah, I'm a big big fan of grilling, basting, putting butter on my corn,
rotating
as
anything
shot.
In its own juices. You're
yeah,
enough.
You know. The problem with basting brushes is typically they've got those hairs. Sometimes the little hair comes off onto the food.
Yeah, you don't want
they
that.
They get burnt on the grill, you know, when you're grilling and it's super hot.
Oh, like
hot.
You touch the grill or something with it.
This basting brush features heat-resistant silicone ends with little nubblies on them.
So it looks like a tentacle or something.
It really does. I mean, they're really they. And not only that, the silicone ends, these little basting silicone
nublets
are going to basically not burn off. They're heat resistant, and they're going to cover the material. And since they've got a little knob on the end, you know how when you've got sauce and it's always dripping off because nothing's holding it?
Yeah, sure.
The sauce is going to stay on those nublets better than if there's nothing to sort of prevent it from flowing off.
Oh, I see. That's pretty cool. It sort of adds just a little point of extra surface area that the liquid or whatever
exactly.
can hold on to.
So Gourmet Basting Brush with silicone ends. Pretty cool.
Wow.
KitchenContraptions.com.
I need one of those.
That. Like that?
I like that.
I know you're obsessed with the next one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is cool. I insisted that we discuss this one a little. You go down like one more post, and there's this picture of what looks like, I don't know, this killer robot refrigerator. It's called the Electrolux Cyber Fridge.
It's a Cylon fridge.
It's a Cylon
from Battlestar
refrigerator.
Galactica.
I'm pretty sure that that thing says, "Good morning. Would you like some toast?" I don't know.
Dave,
I guess he wouldn't make
would you toast. Like some milk with that, Dave?
So what's the deal with this thing? What's it actually do?
You know, it's got a touchscreen at the top, so you've got to be about 12 feet tall to get at the touchscreen. Well, actually, you know, I've seen a bunch of the fridges with this sort of integrated touchscreen with sensing whether or not you're out of milk, et cetera, inside.
How does it sense if you're out of milk? Is there like a tray that you put the milk and it senses when it's like weight is gone?
You've got to put the milk in a certain location. It's all weight-based.
I don't need a fridge to tell me how to organize it.
You know, another thing is that it can this fridge can also, since it can sense stuff, I think you can use a barcode scanner with some of these too, and I'm not sure about this one, but to basically scan the kinds of products that you get in the fridge.
Yeah, that makes
sense. It can say, in general, you might drink milk in like 3 days. You might need to buy milk. This fridge can actually, you can hook it up to your network, it can email you when you're out of stuff.
Now, that's kind
of,
I mean, people have thought, I remember that when all this, like, Bluetooth and all this junk, people were like, oh, they're going to put, you know, computers in every household device. This seems like the first time that I've seen that it actually really is on your refrigerator for some use. I mean, if the thing would know what foods you're out of and say, here's what you should order this week.
Right.
I mean, that's
pretty sweet. I mean,
pretty sweet.
That's sort of, we use an online grocery Peapod delivery.
Yep, sure.
You just got to buy enough groceries and you can get over the delivery charge, etc. But it makes it awesome because you always have your shopping list online, and you can always be like, I'm just going to use this shopping list as a starting point. I think an integration of that plus, like, things that you necessarily don't get delivered via your online grocer, or when you go to the grocery store, you know, you make those rogue trips.
Sure.
You could, like, scan them in, and then you get a little bit more of a robust, like, list of stuff that you're shopping with.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, I can see having, you know, a good electronic list that's in a place that makes sense and not, you know, separate on your computer upstairs, but rather right here at your fridge.
Right. Now, this Electrolux screen fridge is also the reason why they moved the LCD screen to the top, which would also show TV and other things, right? And so when you open the door, people can still watch what's going on. Before, it'd be like, oh, my God, no, what are you doing? You're opening the door. I'm watching the show, or I'm trying to cook. You know, it's
Because it was on the door?
Nightmare. Because you can imagine having your kids, like, obsessed with something in the kitchen, being like, I'm trying to make dinner.
On the other hand, I don't think I'd really want my kids watching TV on the fridge.
Do you? If you had kids, would you talk to them?
I hope so.
My kids, there's going to be a TV in every room.
I'm just going to wire them up. Totally kidding.
But you
cable
get
hookups to
you
the
get
back
the
of
point.
The brain.
Like, if someone was like, I don't know, if
yeah,
something
right.
was on, it's a good idea.
It looks like a Cylon.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I think it's time we curve around and take a look at criticalgamers.com.
Yeah, so Dave Delabitta, who writes Critical Gamers, has found a gem. Honestly, we've been talking about this World of Warcraft collectible card game for a while. I've been reading it about it at Critical Gamers. What you really want to see is how the hell are they going to play this card game? How does it play? Does it play like Magic the Gathering?
Mm-hmm.
Does it play like Blackjack?
Poker.
Poker. Like, what's the deal? Does it play like one of those old Decipher games, like the Star Trek collectible game? Like,
wow.
What's the play like? Well, the video, which features like what we'd like to call the, you know, one of those uber gaming nerds.
You mean me.
Or perhaps you.
Excellent.
Dave has got a great link to a 20-minute video, footage from Gen Con, which was last week.
What is Gen Con again?
Gen Con is the big sort of, you know, more social gaming, like board gaming, card gaming.
Like role-playing games.
Role-playing games, like your D&Ds, your card games, your board games. Carcassonne.
Comics?
Gen Con has some comics.
What convention shouldn't have comics?
hold on. I don't know.
All right.
Anyways, this 20-minute video features basically the Upper Deck product manager, David Hewitt. You know, he's playing this crazy mage, and he's playing against another guy. They do, like, a raid, like a World of Warcraft raid.
See, now
they can do
this,
quests. This blows my mind with this card game.
So, for those of you who know nothing about this, the computer game World of Warcraft, you know, it's this big computer game, and it's massively popular. I mean, something like 6.5 million people are currently subscribed, which is more than the population of most countries. And what's amazing about this is that, you know, you're playing this game, and the card game itself, as much as I've seen through Critical Gamers coverage,
kind of mirror the video game.
It really does mirror it to the point where, you know, they have quests, they have items, they have characters, and it's very similar to what the game is. So I really think they're trying to play on the popularity of the video game and make the card game feel that just as fun, only, you know, you can bring it with you wherever you go and just play with your friends. And one of the things that part of the computer game has when you sort of advance high enough is there are these things called a raid, which is where you would get together with, you know, 20 or 40 other people and try to take on, let's say, a dragon or fight some very challenging encounter. And that notion is called a raid, and it's been around. It's like you're raiding a dungeon. And I'm amazed that the game, when I had first heard of it, the card game, as, you know, Critical Gamers had covered it, it looked like it was, you know, one person making a deck, playing another person, and they were fighting against each other. But this is really neat. They have this notion that you could actually team up with people and actually conquer, you know, an objective within the game and not necessarily play against each other.
Yeah, and actually, Dave has a play-by-play of the video, which is after the jump, and it goes through every single part of, like, the different play things. For instance, like, you have armor cards which can mitigate damage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not like your character has, like, some stuff you'd be like, oh, I'm going to play this armor card and I'm going to not take so much damage. Or I'm going to play this spell card and do some damage. And what's funny is that it goes down to the wire. So this guy starts the video, remember we were watching it, and he's like...
We did watch a little of it.
Excuse me. He's watching, playing the thing. He's like, I'm totally going to get snookered. I'm going to get, you know,
all right,
taken out.
There's a gentleman demonstrating it. Sorry, a nerd demonstrating it and a nerd playing who's never played before.
Exactly. And we're nerds. But, yeah, you know, essentially, like, basically the guy does really well. And, like, this warrior versus this mage, like, they go down to the wire and, like, combat spells and other types of things. So you're going to be able to play all the different classes from
sure.
World of Warcraft. And you're going to be able to, you know, try different styles of play. Like, maybe you want to just tank it up and do heavy damage, or I don't know. It's going to be crazy.
It seems like it's a really interesting
game. I'm
going to
check it out. I think this is a game I'm going to play.
I could see myself playing it as well. Another game that that Critical Gamers posted up here that I think I would also really enjoy playing, and, you know, probably so would my wife and, like, a bunch of our friends, is Lost the Game.
Hmm.
We love the show Lost. It's, you know, it's a very exciting show. It's interesting, and what do you know about this? I read a little bit of this, but it just seems like it's an interesting board game that's a mixture of, I don't know how to describe it, you know, a mixture of, you know, a tile-based game where you're sort of moving things, but you're also making these social connections with people and trying to sort of achieve objectives while you're on this crazy island where things are going on.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like a good game. In general, it's not a crappy tie-in game, as Dave said, like the Survivor game. I mean, or it's not about mirroring any of that stuff. I think it has a lot of the, you know, it's got a lot of the different experiences that you get when playing, when thinking about being on the island.
Yeah, I think to me the part that's the most interesting is the fact that they really tie in this, you know, a social aspect where if you were on this island with a bunch of people and there's all these mysterious things happening and, you know, you have all these situations around you, if you watch the show, you know, the things going on the island, you know, the island's sort of a character and there's things happening, but the real show is the interaction between the different people on the island and their alliances and their backstabbing and their...
Yeah, apparently it plays a lot like Settlers of Catan or something like that where you've got hexagonal pieces, is that
sure.
right?
Sure, yep,
hexagonal. And basically you're moving different characters with different powers on the board. You're trying to get to a victory condition, like where you've gotten this sort of, you know, different thing. So there's probably a lot of strategy and a lot of intrigue with, like, who's playing, who's moving where, which guys you're controlling, which characters you can own.
Interesting.
So, pretty cool. Looks like a good game.
Yeah, that I would love to check that out sometime. Now, I see that some of the ads we have here on Critical Gamers are for this product, GameTap. And I know you wanted to talk about that a little bit. What is GameTap?
Yeah, actually, so, you know, we do have ads on the sites, and we do, you know, feature products and feature ads that you can purchase and buy. And, you know, we like to put our money where our mouth is. You know, some before we put a lot of the stuff on the sites, we check it out, we make sure that it's good stuff. You know, we don't want to steer our readers, like, to crazy places that aren't good, you know?
You mean to crap.
To crap. And GameTap is a downloadable application for the PC. It's PC only right now, which is unfortunate. But if you have a MacBook that's, you know, got an Intel chip
dual
for the
boot.
Mac, dual boot into you this can. And check it out. Or for any practical purposes, you could probably try Parallels and do that. Okay, that's totally geeking out.
Wow.
Anyways, GameTap
come on
has
back to us.
Has over 500 games that are like classic games and some newer games that you can play. Like, if you ever played the old Sierra games like Space Quest, Roger Wilco, those games.
Sure.
Have you ever played the old Atari 2600 games like Joust or Yar's Revenge? They, you could just download it.
Oh, wow.
The cool thing is that you pay a subscription fee each month, and you can play any of the 500 games, download them to your machine.
Well, that's cool. So it's sort of like you're just leasing access to all of these games to play at your will.
Right. And so I was like, you know, we're checking this out. We're thinking about, you know, maybe running some of their ads on site. And I'm like, is this really any good? Well, one of the things that really intrigued me about it was that I got this email. I'm sort of obsessed with the Myst Riven series. Remember that whole series of games from Science Studios?
Sure. And for those of you who had never heard of these games, basically they're, you know, beautifully rendered 3D worlds that are just amazing and stunning. And then there are basically logic puzzles that exist, you know, from sort of, you know, set piece to set piece. So maybe you walk out on this cliff with a giant glass orb that's reflecting, you know, some crazy stuff, and you have to arrange the runes in some order that you figure out. But it's just a lot of these puzzles, very cerebral, but very beautiful. It's really cool games.
Yeah, I mean, the Cyan, if we want to talk about them a little bit.
Are they a company?
They are a company, but it was started by two brothers, the Miller brothers. And basically, these guys made the original Myst game on a Mac using HyperCard, which is a scriptable application. And the Myst is one of the top-selling games of all time. Okay, legacy of the Myst franchise. We get Myst, we get Riven, we get Real Myst, which is their a 3D engine. Originally, the game would play like...
Whoa! Sorry.
What was that?
Sorry. I was browsing ahead to something that we might want to talk about.
Oh, really?
And it just started playing the audio
right,
through.
Anyways, so it goes through this whole thing until there's like Myst 3, there's Myst 4... Then there's Myst 5, and then they have this thing called URU. All the games.
Oh, Uru, I've heard of
Uru,
that.
Uru, or URU. I don't know what it is. I don't know. So, anyways, this game was supposed to be Myst Online, where you could interact with other people like a massive multiplayer game and solve puzzles and do things together online. They even had the ability to make, you could make music, play instruments, and you could tell stories. Well, it actually only went to beta. The game shipped, and it never went online because the company, like, was losing money, or they felt like it wasn't going to be popular enough. So they
just abandoned.
They packaged all the content that was the online content. They made it into single playable stuff that you could play by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
but they never published the online community. So, GameTap comes in much later. There's a bunch of these rogue sites that have, like, their own URU servers.
Yeah, yeah.
And are, like, trying to make it a whole thing, and they realize, like, it's a really popular thing. GameTap, because it has this whole subscriber base.
Sure, and they've got an infrastructure.
They've got cool games, they've got infrastructure. They're now going to be providing the first URU Live.
Oh, that's cool. So they sort of picked up the torch.
So they basically took this game, which was ready to go, and they're like, and they picked it back up, and they're like, well, we can publish this, and we can provide players and get people into URU. So I'm pretty excited about it. That's one of the reasons why I signed up for GameTap to try it out. And the cool thing is, if you sign up with the game code URU Live, there's a game code that you can sign up with.
You type it in somewhere and sign up.
When you do the sign-up, you can get a free month of GameTap.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's something you might want to check out. And basically, I'm excited. There's lots of games. There's lots of arcade games. There's like games like Galaga and, you know, Pac-Mans of the world and whatever. So last night alone, I downloaded like, I don't know, like 10, 15 games to try out. And I was like, it just never ended. I'm like, I remember that game. That game was awesome. Oh, my God, the first Tomb Raider. I'd love to play that again. And because it plays through their software, you don't have to worry about patches and emulators and whether or not it's going to play. It plays.
It just works.
And it works.
Nice.
So, anyways, GameTap. Check it out. Really cool thing.
Awesome. There was one thing I was going to mention. Just that was what the big
crazy
noise was.
Do you want to play some music during that?
No. I did. No, that's cool. That one of the things that you'd mentioned at some point when you were talking about GameTap was that there was a series of games that you remember, you know, like Space Quest and these other things. And one of the ones that I had heard about and I thought was interesting was King's Quest games. There's been a whole series of them. And the company that makes them essentially decided they weren't going to make anymore. And this rogue group of fans decided that they were going to make a game that would be the next King's Quest. And they've put an enormous amount of time, and I'm talking years of work,
wow,
high quality work, and they actually have it available free, and they've settled with Sierra that as long as it's free, they're not going to get sued, everybody's cool with it. It's called The Silver Lining, and so if you like King's Quest, you can download The Silver Lining, I think it's in beta right now, and you can just play through it for free. That's it. Thought,
yeah,
I would mention it.
And just to go over like the top 10 games at GameTap to give you sort of the flavor, right?
Yeah, let's hear this.
You got Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wonderful game.
Die by the Sword. Remember that?
No.
Oh, that was good.
What was it?
Die by the Sword was one of the first sort of... it was like... It's actually, I think, by a local game company in Boston. I could be wrong. But it was like a 3D... almost like Dungeons & Dragons Online. Run around, kill stuff, combat.
Wow.
Interactive game.
Third person, first person?
Third person isometric.
Nice.
You know, like whatever. Really cool. Right. Street Fighter Alpha, Crazy Taxi,
oh,
Frogger.
Hey, you're going the wrong way!
Hey, what's going on? So there's all the cool arcade games along with a lot of the things like the Sierra titles and whatever at GameTap. Cool stuff.
Sweet. Alright, it's time to answer some questions that we've gotten in from people. We need more questions from everybody. Please send in your questions. You can send them to
podcast@blogpire.com.
Send them in. There'll be links and everything. .com. Okay, great. So this first one is from Becky in Massachusetts. She says, what do you think about the Tassimo?
Yeah.
First of all, we should explain what is the Tassimo.
Yeah, the Tassimo is a single-serve coffee maker. It's from, actually, it's made by Braun, but it's put out by Kraft. And we get the same kinds of questions a lot. Single-serve coffee, big categories growing, but there's really like, you know, 10, 15 machines that you can kind of go within. And really, Tassimo is it takes a T-disc, which is a, you know, a disc that has a barcode on it. You put the disc in the machine, it has the coffee in it. They also have liquid milk that you can put in here so you can make cappuccinos and lattes.
Wait. Let's go back to the tea disc for a sec. Mm-hmm. It takes, so that's just to make tea?
No, it's just called a tea disc.
Oh, like tea as in
Tassimo. Tassimo.
Oh, Tassimo.
Right. Ooh, that's good.
That's
I never thought
clever.
That someone would get confused by that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we're just...
Anyway, so this disc goes in.
It's got a barcode.
And it basically has got a barcode that tells the machine what you're putting in, and then the machine adjusts pressure and stuff in it to basically make a perfect espresso, single cup of coffee, latte, you name it.
How does, I mean, does that work?
It works. It's a good machine. It does work really well. To answer the question, what do we think about the Tassimo? Well, this prompted us to do a revisiting the Tassimo and do a wrap-up of that. Earlier in the year, we did three articles where we sort of started from soup to nuts. We had done a review, but we said, how do we like the machine? Do we still like the machine? How do you make a cappuccino with it? How's that go? How good's the hot chocolate that it makes? It makes
That's
hot chocolate.
Critical.
And then we also recently did a review of some of the new espressos that they're bringing over from Europe, the Petit Déjeuner Carte Noire Tidus. So there's a wrap-up. We actually just featured it this past week because, we try to sort of sprinkle this stuff in. But you can check it out, Revisiting the Tassimo Single Serve Coffee Maker at singleservecoffee.com.
Sounds cool. All right, next up, this is a question from Jed, also in Massachusetts. It says, why are you supposed to serve white wines cold? That's a great question.
Yeah, it's actually a very frequent question. And there's not just white wines, but a lot of wines you're supposed to serve cold.
Even like reds?
Even reds. Reds are not supposed to be served as cold as a white wine, but not at room temperature often. The reason why you don't serve a wine, a lot of wines, especially a white wine, at room temperature is because at room temperature, the wine is going to taste dull and pretty unbalanced. The coldness brings out a lot of the flavor and allows your palate to sort of absorb the wine in it's just crisper. It tastes better cold. You know, certain things taste better hot.
Yep.
Certain things taste better cold. And that's really what they really are supposed to be chilled. One of the things we did feature on Cheap Fun Wines not too long ago was this Cooper Rapid Wine Chiller, which will actually, you stick the bottle in and it'll cool the bottle to the correct temperature. So reds, maybe a Syrah, maybe a Pinot Noir. You know, a lot of times, like, it's summer and I'd like red wine with my, pork chop off the grill or my piece of, strip steak. But boy, it's kind of hot out. Whatever. You can chill your red. You're just not going to chill it down as far.
How quick does the thing chill it? I mean, it's a rapid chiller. How rapid is 3. Rapid?
3.5 minutes. So very, very quick. That's pretty quick.
Oh, I suppose that's true. If you put it in the fridge, it would be probably like 20 minutes before it cooled down or something.
Yeah. So there's even a no-spin option on this Cooper Rapid Wine Chiller, which won't shake up your wine if you've got a really delicate wine.
Oh, because it would rotate the bottle while it cools.
Exactly. Okay. So it's like, rolling it over.
How is it?
Nice.
So anyways,
Dawn, balanced wine, taste, if that's what you like, don't chill your wine. If you want wine to bring out the flavor, especially white wines, you got to chill it.
So the short answer is
chill
because that's because. Just
it brings
because
out
it brings out the flavor.
Yep.
All right. Last question we have for today is from Steph in California. It says, over time, I have lost or damaged some knives, so I get a bunch of knives from different sets now, and there's no way to easily store them. I hate putting them all in a drawer. Is there something I can use to collect them all besides a cookie jar? A cookie jar, yes.
Now, I know that you found an answer for this,
yes,
but I also
I
know another option off
all
the
right.
top of my head when I'm thinking. There's also those things that you can take knives and anything that's going to respond to magnets. They have these magnets that you can mount
sure.
on the wall, and you can just
stick them up, the magnetic strips,
it's
yeah.
Like a magnetic strip, or they're also like a magnetic puck. And it's like you can just, they're really hardcore magnets. You can put
How many
your,
knives
like,
can you fit on one of those pucks?
A couple, but it's more meant for like your larger cutlery.
Yeah,
so
I
if
got
you had
you.
Like,
Cleaver.
Cleaver, other stuff. But I think this thing's pretty cool too.
I found on Kitchen Contraptions, there's a post on May 3rd. It's in the knives section. And it's this universal cutlery block. So it looks like, a regular knife block that you would have, only the inside is adjustable, and it's like you just slide the knife in, and the inside is almost like a foam or something. I don't have one, so I can't say for sure, but it looks to be some kind of a foam thing or just like some kind of memory plastic, I don't know. And you just slide all the knives in. So that seems like a nice solution where if you have a lot of different knives and maybe they're from different sets and, you know, because you know that happens, you just lose stuff, you can just jam them all in that block and it'll just fit to the right piece. Now, I wonder if you, when you set it, it sets it once and that's just the hole it cuts?
I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe that's got like a more of a memory foam. It's good. You can use it over and over and over again.
That'd be cool.
I would hope that you could just jam it in wherever you want.
Yeah.
You know, as many times as you want. But, you know, we're not in the future, right? It's not the 21st century.
Not just yet.
Not really.
Awesome. So, again, please send in your questions. We'd love to answer them. And anything you'd like to say, if you want to put it in a WAV format or MP3 format, we might even put it on the show. And if not, just email them to us at podcast@blogpire.com.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have today. I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer.
And we'd like to thank you for listening in. Hope to get back to you in a couple weeks with some more news from around the Blogpire. And in the meantime, enjoy your Labor Day. Have a great time.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'm